Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes. Es realmente una gran bendición poder estar nuevamente con ustedes en esta ocasión.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present. It's truly a great blessing to be here with you again on this occasion. Today is Sunday, December 21 of this year, 2025. In greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, may God bless him greatly, today, tomorrow, and always, and each one of us as well. For this occasion, let's search in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, verse 1 and on, where it tells us the following. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Above that he writes the creative word, the king's scepter. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And he writes there, Revelation 10, 8 to 11. We are being rushed from heaven. Let's do everything quickly and well done. It tells us in the message, the mysterious seal, which was preached on June 26, 2005, in Goiânia, Brazil, he says, during the seven stages of the church, Christ has been as lamb and as high priest making intercession in heaven, that is, under the dispensation of grace. But a stage is coming in a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, where Christ will be as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work. If a stage was coming where he would be as lion, and where a new dispensation would be opened, it was because at that time they were still living under the dispensation of grace as Lamb of God. He didn't stand as lion yet. The claiming work couldn't be carried out because there were still names left to be confirmed, to be called, from age to age. The same thing happened in our time. The very last elect of God had to be called and gathered. Now that was what Reverend William Branham wanted to achieve, and it was to catch those big fish, where in the vision of that lake, he, the angel, told him that he was going to teach him how to fish, to catch those big fish that were there. And he knew that by succeeding in catching those fish, he would consequently have to have those ministries where the Holy Spirit would be operating at the end of time to catch those fish. So much so that Notice, he wanted to go to Israel. Now, that didn't pertain to that ministry of Brother Branham. And when he did what he did, when he started teaching the ministers how to fish, that was the mistake he made. Even though he had good intentions, we don't judge him as a prophet. The only one who can judge a prophet is God. No person can take it upon himself to judge a prophet. Now, all of that is a lesson even for that next ministry and that next instrument. Because he said to him, you won't tell anyone anything about this. Because, sooner or later, they will always try to ask, tell me, I'll help you, tell me about this, how do you do this, how, what for? To then go and do things or speak things as if they came from that person, and it can bring forth the same thing that it did when Brother Branham began to explain the first and second pole. The same thing would take place if that happened, because they would start to imitate, and that would turn the people's sight towards that minister or those ministers who perhaps, notice in Brother Branham's time, they were more eloquent than Brother Branham himself. They had a better way of speaking, a better way of moving around in many things, and that catches people's attention. And Brother Branham was a simple man. But that was where the Spirit of God was working at that time. There was no one else, it was him. And surely, notice, there are many people who are more eloquent than the instrument himself. And at this time as well. They know many things, they know the Bible from start to finish, they know everything. Plus, if they are giving a bit more, something that has to do with the fulfillment of the third pole, then the people might say, wait a minute, that man has more eloquence, and he is doing nearly the same thing. Could this be the one? He can confuse the people. That is why God hasn't allowed, nor will he allow, anything to be said that has to do with that work that the Holy Spirit is carrying out at this end time. It is a work from soul to soul, from the soul of God to the soul of the elect. And no one can start to inject things there in the heart of that elect. Only the Holy Spirit. Only one person, him. Brother Branham says that the day you put a man as your leader, that's the day you die. Our only leader at this end time is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is guiding us into all righteousness and all truth. Notice in the book of quotations on page 77, there it tells us on paragraph 658, it says, the first Bible that God ever wrote was the zodiac in the sky. It starts off with the Virgin. It ends up with Leo, the lion. And when I get into that sixth and seventh seal, you'll find out when that other seal was opened. The zodiac mark of that place was Cancer, the crossed fish. And that's the Cancer age we're living in now, revealed. And the next thing, the seal tore off. It revealed Leo, the lion, the second coming of Christ. And there on the left, upwards, he writes, Cancer, dash, Revelation. And another line, lion, dash, second coming. In the book of the ages, on page It tells us, there it is again, 60, page 60. There it is again, the sun shining out in all its strength, all the strength of the Son of God shining in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There he stands, the judge, the one who suffered and died for us. He took the wrath of divine judgment upon himself. He tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God alone. As we have already stated, to the sinner, his voice is as the sound of the cataract or the surf pounding in waves of death upon the rocky shores. But to the saint, his voice is as the sound of the sweetly singing brook as you lie at rest, satisfied in Christ, shining upon us with his warming rays of love. He says, fear not. I am he which was, which is to come. I am the Almighty. Beside me, there is no other. I am the Alpha and Omega, the all of it. And he writes Alpha and Omega on the right. He is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Yes, that great day, and he writes seventh day on top, is ready to break, and the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And he draws a cornerstone on the ages and rays of light in the cornerstone. And those are the ministries of Moses and Elijah, because the Son of Man comes with his angels. It is the coming of the Son of Man, that is the seventh seal to the church, which is the coming of the Lord, and there are his angels, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, the seventh trumpet to Israel. Now he goes on to say, therefore, Christ will complete his church very soon and will rise from the Father's throne, take that book of seven seals and open it in heaven, and then he will bring it to earth. In this book of quotations on page 113, it tells us, paragraph 998, it says, their names was in that book to be revealed, and the Lamb had revealed it. The Lamb had redeemed it. And above that, the Lamb had redeemed it, he writes, on Calvary and from age to age. But he could not come forth until every name was revealed, and that was taking place under the sixth seal, before the seventh broke. Then the Lamb came for what he had redeemed. And he writes Revelation 10, 1 and onwards, there at the end. And on top he writes the names in the book. The lion appears under the sixth seal, Moses and Elijah. The lion appears under the sixth seal, because in his coming, he comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in that claiming work. Now he continues to say, remember that in heaven, in the city of our God, which is the new heavenly Jerusalem, is where all this will be happening. Therefore, after that takes place in heaven, it will be manifested on earth. It will be brought to earth, that book of the seven seals, which is the title deed of the heavens and the earth, and the title deed to eternal life and to all things. In this message, we are being rushed from heaven. Let's do everything quickly and well done. Those who have it printed, notice, he tells us on page 26, speaking to us about what I told you a few minutes ago regarding that catch of fish. But that whole part about the big fish that would be caught was then shown in the other vision when he saw the tent. What he was seeing in the tent was the catch of the big fish. What he saw in the tent was the catch of the big fish. In other words, there, If the Lord is carrying out a catch of fish, then the angel is with him. If he was present in the first and second pole, showing that to Brother Branham, in the third pole, blessed be the Lord, the angel is with his people. He is in the midst of his people because he is the one who speaks, says, and the instrument works and does what the angel tells him to. He says, let's look at that brief part because it is very important. It is 97 or 98 paragraph from page 12, let's see, because that is where he shows us page 12. From that paragraph 97 there, the column on the side, the paragraph on the right side, at the bottom, where he talks about when the angel appeared to him on his right side. Notice how lovingly the angel approached him. How lovingly he helps us, speaks to us, guides us, comforts us, and he tells us, even though you did this wrong, you're not alone. I am with you. Let's keep moving forward. Hold on here. I'll carry you. Have you sometimes felt comforted? Ah, it is the Holy Spirit carrying you and moving you forward, guiding you, guarding your path, caring for you. And notice how he approaches him with that love, but firmly. The angel of the Lord walked from behind me on my right side and came directly in front of me. The same one I have always seen, a tall man, strong, the size of a 200-pound man, large arms, dressed in a white robe, barefooted, dark hair. He looked me straight in the face and said, there on the right he writes, the angel, dash 200 pounds, dark hair, dark skin, equals olive color. He writes, he looked me straight in the face and said, just what I told you not to do, you did. I thought, this is the end of me now. He said, the first time I told you to pull slowly and to keep quiet, on quiet, he underlines it and circles it. When we talk about prudence, we often say that one must be silent, keep quiet. What good does it do to talk about something you have heard from the messenger or that God has revealed to you that is for you alone? And to keep quiet about it was when I made known to you the diseases of the people when they would put their hands on yours. Your second pull, when I told you to pull faster and to keep quiet, the silence again. About it was when I gave you visions. Who gave them to him? It was the angel. When I gave you visions to know the secrets of people's hearts. And as you predicted what I told you, I did just what I said to you. Who did everything? It was the angel. But he needs a human body to work. Instead of keeping quiet about these things, you got on the platform and made a public show of these divine gifts. Look what you have caused, a lot of carnal impersonations. Now notice how he admonishes him, but with love. At the top, look, he writes on that paragraph, the angel was the one who gave the visions to know the secrets of the heart. Because the word of God is like a two-edged sword, which discerns thoughts and intentions, and penetrates to divide the soul, the joints, and everything. And it is the Holy Spirit. That is the angel of the Lord. Now notice, he goes on to say here on page 26 of the message, we are being rushed from heaven, he says, was the catch of the big fish, but shown from another angle and with another vision. That is the third pole, where the big fish would be caught, and where the Hebrew people will see what will be happening. If you're under the ministry, under the tent, and believe in that ministry, you are a big fish. And then the fish of the Hebrew people will come. Big fish. Why? Because they are chosen. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30 and on. They are the elect, the remnant of the Hebrew people. That is where the great miracles and wonders would happen. And Reverend William Branham says that will be with Moses and for Elijah, the great wonders and miracles at an international level. And they will say, this is what we are waiting for. International miracles, if you find it there in the book of quotations, do you have that quote there? And they will say, this is what we are waiting for. But they are going to see that among the Gentiles at the end of the dispensation of grace, where Christ will be working. At the end of what? Of the dispensation of grace. Page 100, page 50, page 50, paragraph 400. Says, don't you see how it is? The people today, how their great something's going to shake the whole world and everything, that's unscriptural. No, sir. The next thing in order is the going of the church. Read in the church ages. You see what? Now, these other things that's to take place is during the time of the wedding ceremony, when the church is in glory. God returns back with great wonders to perform international miracles and things by the Jews. Don't go to the church at all. That is, for the dispensation of grace. Remember that the age of the cornerstone is a Jewish age. There at the top, he writes Moses and Elijah and the miracles. Now he goes on to say, and Reverend William Branham says on page 119 of the Book of Quotations, that by that time, there will be no more time for salvation. But the third pole will be for the church, for the bride, for the church, and for the virgins, and for the world. See? But he says, but by that time, everything will already be over. Also in the message, souls that are in prison now, there he tells us about that third pole, and he says there will be a ministry that will show great wonders, but there will no longer be time for salvation. There will be no time for repentance. That means time will already be over. The time for redemption will be over. That is why when the angel lifts up his hand to heaven, he says that the time will be no longer. The time of redemption. That is what he writes in Revelation chapter 10. When the angel cries out and says that time will be no longer, and he writes of redemption. Therefore, when the title deed would be taken and given to a man on earth to eat and prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues, that is outside the dispensation of grace. The time of redemption, the time of salvation, the time for repentance will be no more. The dispensation of grace will have already ended, and consequently the dispensation of the kingdom will be starting, and we will already be under a new divine plan relevant to the third pole, and relevant, therefore, 2, the dispensation of the kingdom. But God is going to shake this world. Just as He shook Israel on the day of Pentecost, at the start of the dispensation of grace, now He is going to shake the whole world at the start of the dispensation of the kingdom, even if the kingdom is not established on earth yet. But He will shake this world. God will show His power in the midst of His church, and the whole world will be shaken. When He said, Lord, perfect strength by perfect weakness, fill a few vessels. Hey, and when He speaks about that, and one is alive at this time, He was pointing to those vessels. He was pointing to the future. When one points to and is going to say something about the future, one says that when that happens, see, one goes, when that happens, Lord, fill those vessels. Now, the instrument goes, Lord, fill those vessels. Now I'm pointing at you. Back then the Holy Spirit pointed to you from far away, into the future. Today the Holy Spirit is pointing at you. Lord, fill those vessels, present here and there in the camera, who are on the other side, behind the screen. Fill those vessels, Lord, and shake this world. It is not hard to ask that because that is a promise. It was spoken by a prophet. And the Holy Spirit gave him, in that anointing that He spoke there, He made known to the people, to the church bride, what would happen at this time. That there would be some empty vessels, but that they would be filled by the Holy Spirit. If He says, fill those vessels, it was because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Fill those vessels. Today He is filling them. Fill those vessels, Lord. Fill my vessel. Fill my vessel, my soul, my spirit, my body. And upon filling it, Lord, transform me. Because that is the end goal. Not just to fill it, but what is the purpose of filling it? To transform us. And that is what He is doing at this end time. Now He goes on to say, in this message, the mysterious seal, Christ, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven, in Revelation chapter 10, will bring it in his hand and give it to a man for him to eat it, and for him to prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues. And thus, the prophetic ministry of the last day of the dispensation of the kingdom, which is the seventh dispensation, that ministry will be in that man, in the dispensational prophet who will eat that little open book that Christ will give him to eat. In the message, God's only provided place of worship, there it tells us on page 40 of this message, He says, now let us look at some that has been quickened into this house of God. There He draws the Star of David on the right and a cornerstone in the ages. Enoch, in 10 minutes will go if you can just suffer that much longer. Look, Enoch was the living word of God of his age. He was a prophet. A prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he is in direct line with that reflection. God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he had to eat the scroll. That was in Ezekiel. He had to reflect that word for that age. You got it? And there on the left he draws a cornerstone and he writes today. Revelation 10, 1-11. And he writes at the top, eat the scroll, comma, the book. Ezekiel 2 or 3, Ezekiel chapter 3, where it shows us there chapter 3 of Ezekiel, look, it says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Because why is he going to eat that book, the roll? Well, to do a work. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And he draws a star of David there, next to adamant on that sentence on the right. "So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." The bitterness and the same thing that what John says, that when I ate it, it made my belly bitter. But in my mouth it was sweet, as honey. There is nothing sweeter than the Word of God. "Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kibar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass, at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Notice the responsibility of the prophet. "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Again, "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered." Meaning what he had done, it is sin, it wouldn't count for him. "But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." The house of God is a house of correction. Now notice, he goes on to say here, in the message of the mysterious seal, and with the coming of Christ, the mighty angel, giving the title deed, the book of seven seals, to the last dispensational prophet, will come the restoration of all things. Will come the restoration of all things. Will come the restoration of the sons and daughters of God to physical eternal life. The dead in Christ will resurrect in glorified bodies, and we who are alive will be transformed. And then, we will all be physically immortal, and there will be a full manifestation of the power of God in the midst of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the message, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed," on page 69 at the bottom, he tells us, "Now you see the seals? When he is in his mediatorial work back there, redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get his book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him. For that's the believer, the words in the book, and the word is him. You are him. You are him. What a great thing, right? I am him. You are him. And all that's in that, he come forth for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world, when he was slain as a lamb. There on the right, he writes downward the claim. And here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. She can't recognize another headship. Our headship is God. No, sir. There is no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ, and Christ is the Word. And he writes below, the book with seven seals equals the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Redemption. In this message titled The Third Pole, notice, preached on March 3, 2013, in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, thank God, Christ is still in the throne of intercession as high priest of the heavenly temple. But when he finishes that work, he will take the book, open it, and make his claiming work. He will claim everything he has redeemed with his blood. People, kingdom, entire planet Earth, for which he opens it in heaven, and then brings it to earth to give it to a man so that he passes it to his church. Look at that. It's not for it to stay there with him. No, it's to pass it to his church. Now notice, in the unedited book of the ages, which is in this booklet, on page 26, and in the unedited ages book, it is on 662. He tells us there, starting from paragraph 130, that is where he begins to tell us. Now I want to say something here. The first thing that we want to go back to is, if we go back in the Old Testament here, I believe I got it wrote down here somewhere, Leviticus 25. In Leviticus 25, 23, and 24, you can get the laws of redemption, you who are putting down. In other words, there were people there like you, with notebooks in hand. Those who had them, those who don't sometimes write things down on their iPads or on their cell phones, or others have good retention. Well, let's write it down in that mental notebook. But the extension of the mind, Brother William says, is a notebook which doesn't erase from there. I remember one time there was a worker with us. He was already quite elderly. And, well, when one would tell him, cut this 2x4 for me, this piece of wood, this size, 8 inches long, and bring it to me. And he would go to cut the, saying, 8 inch 2x4, 8 inch 2x4. And you would say to him, God bless you, brother, or you greet, look, can you bring me this, or where are you going? Hey, let me see. Well, let me go back. What did you, but don't you, you don't you know, don't you remember what the measurement was? Well, it's just that halfway there I crossed paths with someone and I didn't have it written down. Well, write it down on a little piece of cardboard and you won't forget it. But there are people like that who don't have that retention, and if someone tells them something on the way, they forget. But it's always good to also have something to write with. He says to redeem anything when a man, when God gave Israel its, divided its land up through Joshua, each tribe and each fellow was given a land where his children inherited his possession. There he writes on the left upwards, the laws of redemption. Because he has his laws, the laws of redemption. Now, if this man got poor and lost anything to another man, this, three dots, and only way it could be redeemed would be by a near kinsman. But it finally must come back. This man only holds it for a certain amount of time. It must come back to the original owner. Right. It must go back to the original owner. The, three dots, if they was out of the tribe of Judah, if it was, three dots, if he was there, and this was allotted to his father, then it was to him. Or some near kinsman could take it. But now, nobody else could rightly, three dots, they could hold it, they could hold the deed on it. In other words, the buyer had the deed. There, on the right upwards, he writes, the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:8-13. They could hold the deed until the debt was paid. But when the right man come along, the person that, three dots, say for instance, if I owned a piece of property and I lost it, and I sold it over to Brother Neville, which is of another tribe, of Judah, or maybe sold it to an alien, and he rightfully owned it, he owned it. He could come in there and farm it, and take the goods off of it, and so forth. But really, he just held the deed. He could not own it. That was a law in Israel. Now you read it in Leviticus 25, and you'll see that they could not rightfully own it. And he writes above that, they didn't have the title deed above that sentence. He just held it. Now above, in the margin, here in the booklet, in the margin, above that paragraph 132, he writes, the Lamb's Book of Life, a title, an usufruct deed, but not the title deed, which is the book of the seven seals. Well, now for instance, my son wanted, Billy back there wanted to take my, three dots, come by this ground. Well then, if the alien, or Brother Neville, or some other person owned it, was holding the deed to it. And above that he writes, usufruct. Now, if this was my next kinsman, was my blood relation, he could not hold it any longer. No, sir. He had to give it over. Yes, sir. When that price was paid, when he gave him, say, $25,000 for the piece of the property. Well then, say, Brother Tony would come over and say, Brother Neville, I'll buy Brother Bram's property. He couldn't do it. Brother Neville say, no, sir. I don't want to sell it. Well, what would you get for it? 25,000. Well, I'll give you 35,000. I'll give you so and so. I don't care what you want. I don't want to sell it. I'll keep it. But Billy Paul could come along and say, I want my daddy's position. Here's your 25,000. He had to let it go. That's right. Because that was a law. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you Christians see it. We are the salt of the earth. God gave this to his sons. He gave us the jurisdiction over all nature, all animals, all life everywhere. There he draws a Star of David on the left. But Adam, our father, forfeited to Satan. But where does it fall back? To the rightful owner, God who made it. Amen. There in the right upwards, he writes two sentences, the inheritance of the children of God, in the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee was when everything would return to its original owner. No wonder John said he wept bitterly, for he could find no man who was worthy to redeem it. The man must be worthy. John said, I wept bitterly when no one was able to take the book or to look on it or lose the seals thereof. He said, not, three dots, no man in heaven, no man in earth, no man beneath the earth, no man everywhere, no man. Now, he never disregarded angels. Remember, this earth wasn't given to angels. It's the inheritance of man. Gabriel was worthy, sure. Somebody else was worthy. Michael might have been. Not as he might have been worthy to do it, but there was no man worthy. No man worthy. See? And John wept loud, and he writes on the left, John wept, and in the previous paragraph he writes Gabriel on the left. Someone said, because he found himself not worthy. That isn't so. The man was under the influence of the Holy Ghost. He couldn't make an error like that. But it was in him not only worthy, he could find nobody worthy. So just then he said, an elder came forth, or a strong angel, said, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The root of David, he has prevailed. Amen. Conquered. There he draws a star of David on the left, and upwards he writes, the root of David. In other words, he is worthy to take the book. Amen. Remember, he hadn't seen him up to this time. Why? He was seated on a throne in there, God's throne. He was on the inside of the sanctuary. And he writes, most holy place, above that. Now notice, John, couldn't see him, but he was on the throne of intercession, because at that time John was in the dispensation of grace. And from there he couldn't see the dispensation of the kingdom, that is, the most holy place. He couldn't see him. And he writes on the left, most holy place, seventh dimension. He hadn't seen him to this time, so John was expecting to see a lion come forth, but he saw a lamb. There you are. Brothers, through meekness, through sweetness, through the Holy Spirit, that we conquer. Notice he writes there, above that paragraph, the conqueror, dash, the lion, colon, a man. Not some great mighty intellectual giant, but he that can humble himself is the man who conquers. The man who can be kicked around and still be a servant of Christ. That's the conqueror. Now he said, he has prevailed, and he is worthy to take the book and to open it and to lose the seals thereof. He draws a cornerstone on the right in the ages. Now we're going to find out after a while, maybe not in today, but what these seven seals hold, what they did. Now let's take a little bit on redemption. Before this person could redeem, the first thing, he had to be worthy. He had to be the right kind of person. So this was accomplished when Jesus Christ was born, a virgin birth, for he was God. He was God himself, made a man. He was God in human flesh. He had to be worthy. And the virgin blood, yet he writes there, the seed birth, and the virgin blood of Jesus Christ made him worthy. Now we find that, if you want to go to the scripture of it, of 1 Peter 1:18-20, if you're keeping the scriptures down, he had to be worthy. There in the left upwards, he writes, he had divine blood like Adam. And he was, because he took upon him the form of man. He became man. God became kinfolks to us. And there we find then the beautiful part of God, Jehovah, made flesh, and dwelt among us as the worthy one, and dwelt among us as the worthy one. Amen. He prevailed. Now, on page 256 of the Book of the Seals, There he is dwelling among us again. And that instrument becomes worthy to take the book and eat it. But it doesn't stop there, because then it becomes a people who are worthy to also receive that title deed. But no one worthy had been found. And now, a worthy instrument and a worthy people appeared. How great God is! He has made us worthy to escape all the judgments that are to come upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. We are worthy to be worthy before God. He didn't find anyone worthy in the ages. No people. Today he has found that people. Today he has found those worthy to receive that title deed and for that title deed to be made flesh in the heart of every person, of every elect. He prevailed. God took on the form of human flesh. He came to the earth, was born a little baby, and walked among us. And through his holy blood, he prevailed. Now, in the Old Testament, how a man was to proclaim his own, what did he do? He took an elder, 10 elders, and went to the gate and introduced what he was doing to redeem what he had been lost, and showed who he was, and he was given a witness. We find the beautiful story here. As I had a little note wrote here too, so I wouldn't forget it, being nervous this morning, upon Ruth, the kinsman, and Boaz. We went through it not long ago. I want you to notice the 3 stages now of this resting. I want you to notice the resting of the church, just exactly the same thing. Now watch. The first place we find, as we've all been through that sermon, the kinsman redeemer, God was made flesh in order to become the redeemer. He was the one here in the 5th chapter, in the 5th chapter, said, there on the left upwards, he writes, Revelation 5, equals Boaz claiming. And on the right, he writes, Ruth. And below, that paragraph 151, he writes, God made flesh equals the kinsman redeemer. And now he is going to read the scripture of Revelation chapter 5. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book or to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. He is the one. He is that one we're looking at. And he writes on the side, the Lion. Because he would come as Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now notice, he also tells us in this message, where is the God of Elijah? Preached on April 15, 2006 in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says. And now we are waiting for the second coming of Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And now we are waiting. Now notice how God, and this was in 2006, went on progressively making known to the church that entire mystery of the coming of that promised Son, where God would raise up that ministry in the midst of His church to fulfill His coming, which that ministry still wasn't being operated at that time, the Messianic ministry. He says, we are waiting for the second coming of Christ as a Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His claiming work. We are waiting for Him to complete His church and rise up from the throne and take the title deed and bring it to earth and give it to a man to eat, so that he, that person, is adopted, is transformed, and so that all the elect of this time are transformed too and restored to physical eternal life. Now that is why, without that title deed, The resurrection and transformation can't take place. The title deed must be in the midst of His church. In this message, God's power to transform, He tells us on page 49, He says there, that word has to come to pass. It's God's word, planted in your heart. If you want to go in rapture, if you want to be Christians genuine, place this word. And he writes rapture on the left. As I believe it was Ezekiel, God said, take that scroll and eat it up. The scripture we read. That the prophet and the word would become the same. And every promise in there has to manifest itself. Because it's God's original seed. Don't you let some educated theologian out there try to pump it out of you. Don't you let him spray you with that carnal science and knowledge and education. Believe God. And there on the left he draws a cornerstone and he writes, eat this scroll, this book. That was what in this message he also tells us about. All this, look, page 85. Of the message trying to do God a service without it being God's will or outside of His will, it says, page 83 at the bottom, He also tells us something there. He says, Christ is our ark, the word. They want their denomination. He cannot, notice, cannot be carried on the new cards of the denomination. His message cannot go on the card of a new denomination when it's supposed to be born and come on the heart of a prophet. Where must the word, that title deed, be? In the heart, in the soul. And he writes there Revelation 10, 1-11. And above he writes, the ark, Christ, must come in the heart of a prophet. And from there, in the heart of every elect of God. Now on page 85, he also tells us at the bottom, he says, notice, God told the prophet, said, eat the scroll in the Old Testament. O-T, he writes Old Testament, the prophet of the New Testament, he said, eat the little book. Why? That the prophet and the word would be one. See, that's the ark, the word of God. If that title deed, which in the third pole is where the mystery of the seven thunders is being made known, as well as what that mystery contains, which is the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, if that is being made known, and people don't listen to it, then that title deed must not be contained in the heart of that elect. That elect must hear it, receive it, believe it, in order for that word to be made flesh. I just don't understand this, but eat it. It's like when you're going to eat something when you were little. You would eat something, even at an older age. What is this? And your mother would say, eat it, it's good for you. But I don't know what that is. And it tastes kind of weird. Eat it. And they would make you eat it. And one would, later you would acquire a taste for it. Or when you saw the result, give me more. It's because this is good for that. Oh, well, give me some more. I want more. No, this is today's portion. That is what the word of God is like. Eat it. Because at some point, he said, eat it because at some point you're going to need it. Eat the entire word. Believe it. And then God will give you the understanding so that you understand it. That is why he said, Peter, what you do not understand now, you will understand later. And look, of course you understood. When he said to him, may that not happen to you. Get behind me, Satan. You do not know the things that are of God, but those that are of men. In other words, he didn't understand, he didn't comprehend. But then notice, the same one who said, may that not happen to you that you go there, you're saying, you have already said it 3 or 4 times, that the Son of Man would be judged, sentenced, taken prisoner. He would be tried, sentenced, crucified. He would give his life, then resurrect, ascend to heaven. May such a thing not happen to you. But then, the same man who said, may that not happen to you, later, preached that great sermon on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because God opened his understanding, and he understood why he said that. If he had stayed with, no, may that not happen to you, then God could have cast him aside. This man is going to be a hindrance for me. I better cast him out. But look, God in his mercy didn't count that against him, and he was the leader of the apostles there. In other words, God in his mercy sees the intention of the heart there. And he sees that our intention is always good, that there's nothing behind it, no bad intention, because God knows the heart. May our intention always be good, and may our intention be pleasing before God, even if we do something that displeases him. But Lord, look at me, look inside me. Don't look at this action, just look inside me. This was my intention. Forgive me. My Heavenly Father, forgive me. God moves to mercy that way. Now he goes on to say here, without the title deed, physically there will be no restoration to eternal life of any person. The title deed must be there. Therefore, every last elect of God must come in, and for that to happen, the God of Elijah is the one who has been carrying out the work of calling and gathering all the elect of God, written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now notice, just as there are laws of redemption, there are also laws for the claim. They asked Brother Branham a question, and in that question, when he answered, thank God for those questions they asked him, because there he spoke to us and opened many things to us, like in questions and answers on the seals, where he speaks about the Elijah that would come. Is he the same Elijah, or will it be another one? Those were key details. When he answered it, he answered with a revelation that he hadn't spoken openly like that, although he had spoken about it in the sixth seal and all that. But just as he answered there, it is, those were good questions. Surely, well, that was the Holy Spirit inspiring those people to ask those questions, so that later on, notice, we would have the answers. Now notice, in this book of questions and answers, but this one was the one from August 30, 64 in the morning, on page 64, there, notice, they ask him the question. It says, Brother Branham, one of the tapes of the seven church ages, you mentioned that Judas had been justified, sanctified. Were these genuine? There's a good one, Brother Branham says. There's a good one. Explain experience, genuine experiences of the grace that he received. He also mentioned that Judas had his name on the Book of Life, and yet we know he went to Hades and was lost. How can a person have their name on the Book of Life and still be lost? Or why does God put persons' names on the Book of Life when he knows that they will be lost at the end? What a question. And like when Job, he asks Job, because when one asks God, that's fine. But when God is the one who asks you, my, oh my, where were you when I, my, oh my, now that's really, remember when Gehazi was asked, where were you? It was a question. It was a matter of answering honestly. Look, I went back there and you didn't want to take it, and I needed it, so I went and took it. Already, well, look, a reprimand, go and return it. And, or, whatever the Holy Spirit would tell him there for the prophet, to answer. But it was about answering him with the truth. Just like with the Ananias and Sapphira. It was about answering him with the truth. But those were questions that had to be answered sincerely, honestly. And he said to him, "Was not the Spirit, my Spirit, with you as well?" He gave him the chance. Where were you? Where are you coming from? That was what he said to him there. Where are you coming from? Nowhere, I was here. There he says to him, "I was here." Hey, well, the first lie. In other words, he thought that because he was, the prophet was closed off somewhere, he wouldn't see him. People think that because they are closed off in places, like when we read yesterday about that he said, don't form groups, little groups, secretly. People think, oh, they're over there, they won't see us here. And he has those two big eyes, watching them make those fabricated cases and all those things. They think they are hiding from the instrument, but who can hide from God? No one. Don't fool yourself. Don't be foolish. You are fooling yourself. Now he is going to answer. Now, that's a good one. Isn't it? Now. This would be good. Now. I'll just have to depend on the Lord to answer this. Because I'm just probing out. Look. First, in our churches, I mentioned that Judas had his name on the Book of Life. That's true. We know that because Jesus told them when all of them was sent out, Matthew 10, to cast out devils, to preach the gospel, freely receive, freely give. And they returned back rejoicing because the devils were subject to them. The devils were subject to them. Is that right? And Jesus told them. And he called their names, which ones they was, how many was sent out, and they come back, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, see? They come back rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them. Now, see, the attitude was wrong there. See? You mustn't rejoice because I got power to make a devil move. See? You mustn't do that. You must rejoice because you've even received enough grace to be saved. See? You mustn't rejoice. Three dots. That's how people, usually people that has gifts are people who don't want gifts. See? Paul tried to run from the thing. So did Moses. Great leaders like that try to run from the job. They know what lays before them. In the book, The Seals, he says, don't try to be a prophet, which is something you don't know what you're asking for, something like that. Don't try to be one. See if you can find it there. A lot of people say, Brother Branham, wish we had a ministry. Those are the ones who don't have ministries and want to have one. You don't know what goes with it, brother, sister. And the responsibility when you got people that hangs to what you say. Remember, if you tell them wrong, God will require their blood at your hands. Then you think of that. It's a terrific thing. The same thing we read from Ezekiel. God would require the blood from the prophet if he didn't warn the people, if he didn't say what God told him to say. And there he writes below the responsibility of the ministry of a prophet. It is very, very great. See, if you take a guy that always, oh Lord, fill me with power and I'll go out here and I'll cast devils, he'd never do it. God knows better than trust anybody like that. See, he'd never do it. It's that guy that don't want nothing to do with it. You see, that's the guy that God can take him and teach him something sometime. At the top he writes, who does God use? Whoever doesn't put on a show. That was what the angel said to Brother Branham. Look what you did. You stood on the platform and made a public show. And notice, that's what Moses did. He was supposed to speak to the rock, but there was nothing grand about that. He made a show before the people. He smote the rock by that stage. He wasn't supposed to smite it. He was supposed to speak the word. It was something that humanly seemed simple. There was no action like the first time it gave water. On that occasion, there would be a greater miracle, because an action was seen there. But now notice, it was going to give water by the spoken word. Perhaps the people might have said, what did he do? Surely, we don't know if there were horses back then, but something to channel the water. There must be something there, because it can't be that way that he spoke and it gave water. Something so great and so simple. He spoke and look, it came out. See? This is how the third pole was going to work, or how the third pole will work in that part of the miracles already. What and how it happened will not be seen. All she said was, I've been bedridden for 20 years. Look, I don't know what happened. Now I'm fine. And she will know, and we see a testimony there, but there will be many of those, because there were people there for that work. Now, he says, so then, Judas come back rejoicing, all of them, that the names, Luke 10:20, he said, don't rejoice that the devils is subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written on the book of life. Now, if you notice and take Daniel also, there he writes on the left, the book of life, because your name is on the book of life, because it is in heaven, your name has been recognized. That still doesn't mean that you are saved. See? You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. Remember that. You're only potentially converted. You have what? A title still. An usufruct. See? See? If you ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn, potentially you have an oak tree, potentially, but it isn't developed yet. That's the reason I believe in the security as the way I do. If I ask for a cornfield and I see corn up about that high, potentially I have a field of corn. Not it isn't developed yet. Something could happen, see? Now, you're on your road through justification and sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when you're genuinely baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're in the kingdom. Isn't that what has happened to us? We have gone through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and today we are in the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom. Now you say, Brother Branham, is that true? Now, I haven't got time now to give you scripture. We have been baptized, remember, in the waters of the Word, in the age of the cornerstone. That, in the dispensation of grace, was what would happen on a greater scale in the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, I haven't got time now to give you scripture. You just look it up when you get home, because I don't know, my mind have to look back here in my concordance to pick it up. Jesus told Peter, who had been both saved and sanctified, he believed on Jesus, was sanctified. St. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them, Father, through the truth. Thy word is the truth." To be sanctified at this time, notice what he writes below that. Sanctification by believing. How are you sanctified in this time? By believing. Haven't we said it? Believe, 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 believe. That is to say, sanctify me, sanctify me, sanctify me. And he and the word is the same. They were sanctified potentially through the truth, the word, the truth. And then Jesus told Peter, the night of the betrayal, he said, after you're converted, then strengthen your brother after you're converted. Now notice there, after that work that the Holy Spirit did in Peter, he went and confirmed. Now, after each one of us, elect of God, every son and daughter of God, has been completely converted, soul, spirit, and body, you can then speak the word for our own, for your family members. And we are at that time. Remember, take advantage of this time that God has given us and ask and cry out and claim your inheritance, which belongs to you. We are at the time to claim. I claim my family. I claim those who love me and whom I love. Claim them. It's time to claim. In the message entitled Deed in the Hands of the Lamb, December 31, 2004, look, in Goiânia, Brazil, he says, all of this that is contained in the title deed, which is in the right hand of God, but soon it will be in the right hand of the Lamb, and soon it will be brought to earth by Christ, the mighty angel, and he will bring it open and will give it to a man, to his angel messenger, for him to eat it and prophesy before many peoples, nations, and tongues. In the message Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, notice on page 28, there he tells us, 28 at the bottom, he says, because the Bible is written in mysteries. Jesus thanked the Father for it, see, that it was wrote in mysteries. Now the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming. And he writes there on the right, how and when Jesus Christ comes. But we know he's coming. Like when he says in the Feast of the Trumpets that he says that he will stand up and will say, here I am. Like when you're playing with your grandchildren when they were little. Here I am. Where's Daddy? Here I am. And so was all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day, after it's already been completed, that he reveals and shows what he's done. Oh my, never gave his mystery in full. It's just like this, comparing the seven seals. Now, when God used Martin Luther for the coming out, for that first church, or that church age, and when he used John Wesley, and he gradually brought them out, and was revealing in them that church age, when it goes back through the Bible now and find out, but in the last days, the reason that was such a tremendous thing, that he spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders. Life magazine then packed that circle of a cloud and light there that they could not understand and don't know it yet, but here telling, go there and wait for these mysteries to be revealed. To do what? To wait there. And here months before it happened, and then it happened at exactly the way he said it would do. Did you notice in that picture, even that angel on the right, when he was being materialized, coming down, with his wings back and his head setting sideways, there it is right there in the picture, just exactly. Months before it happened, told here that he is going to bring the body of believers together to reveal, take up, them lost ends. There on the left he writes, the seventh angel in the cloud of angels. And notice what he writes at the top. Every age was revealed in its angel of each age. William Marion Branham, in the West, in Tucson, is a type and figure of the fifth Elijah in America, the angel of Jesus, waiting for the church to be completed and for Christ to leave the throne of intercession and give him the title deed, the book of seven seals, Revelation 10, 1 to 11. Therefore, that angel messenger had to be on earth when that happened. And when that happened, it was no longer to take it back to heaven. The title deed was meant to be brought to the church and to stay in the church, because that is what gives us the right to claim our inheritance. In other words, without that, the resurrection and transformation couldn't take place. It had to be on earth for that to happen. He goes on to say, therefore, through that angel, Christ and the Holy Spirit will be manifested at the same time, making known to us all these things which must shortly come to pass, all these things of heaven, all these things of the divine program, and also all the things which must happen on this planet earth. In this message, we are being rushed from heaven, notice on page 21 as well. There he reads to us from pages 102 and 103 of the book, The Seals. And he tells us, let's read it. Look, he says, pages 102 and 103 of The Seals. Now the Lamb in the time of intercessory back here. He knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. And as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as intercessor, meaning in the intercessory place. Do you get it? Perfectly. Predestination. He had to stay there because he came to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life. By his foreknowledge, he saw them, not by his own will. His will was that none should perish. But by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name hadn't never yet been declared on earth, Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as that final name had been splashed in that Clorox or bleach, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy, he is holy still. And he leaves his sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe unto those outside of Christ then. Now notice, but it's to be revealed when the Lamb leaves his intercessory place from the Father. Now that's Revelation 5. Now he takes the book of seals, or a book sealed with seals, breaks them, and shows them, look, at the end of the age now, after the intercessory is over, the church ages has done finished up. Now we can see why the second coming of Christ, as Lion of the Tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming and resurrecting the dead in Christ and transforming us who are alive, we can see why it has not yet been fulfilled. Because there are still people that have to be called and placed in the mystical body of Christ. That is why Christ, with his glorified body, has not yet appeared. He has not yet risen from the Father's throne to take the title deed and to resurrect the dead in Christ. But Christ in Holy Spirit is in the midst of his church at this end time. He has been since the day of Pentecost. He was present in the days of Jesus, but in human flesh, in the veil of flesh called Jesus. And then, he has been manifested in his church, and speaking to his church, through the apostles, and different angel messengers. Now notice, that later, that same Holy Spirit is the one who would be incarnate at the end of time. Later, as he tells us there, later we will see the Lord, Jesus, in his glorified body. But the ministry of Jesus, of Moses and of Elijah, is that ministry, those ministries that he would be operating at the end of time. It is the ministry. Later we would also be seeing Moses and Elijah, literally, but we would be seeing their ministries in a veil of flesh. A new veil of flesh for Moses, for Elijah, and for Jesus. Didn't he say that his countenance, the disciples said, was altered? Now, he goes on to say here, the title deed in the hands of the Lamb, the subject he is speaking about. It went from the right hand of God to the right hand of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 5, it went to the hands of Christ. But currently, it is still in the right hand of God, that is, at that time. But soon it will go to the hands of Christ, and then Christ will come with that title deed to bring it to us and bring forth our transformation and the resurrection of the dead in Christ. In the message, which is also in the ages, unedited, here in the booklet it is 21, in the book, it is 688, unedited book of the ages, unedited, he says, here it is 21, he says at the bottom, paragraph 100, in this sevenfold book of seven redemption plans has been brought to us, and that's what this book holds. Now we're going to go over in the 10th chapter, where this mighty angel proclaims something that, and above mighty angel, he writes Moses and Elijah. Because that mighty angel comes with those ministries of Moses and Elijah, and as the Son of Man with his angels. For this mighty angel, Moses and Elijah, didn't he see him? And did you notice that this angel seemed very strange to me? He says that he had sharp wings and was more notable to him. Well, because that was the mighty angel. That is the one who had the seventh seal, the coming of the Lord, and those ministries which would bring in his wings healing, salvation, joy, happiness, peace, are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And he had a little book that John, and he writes the bride above, had to eat. Look, there's a writing that he left us in a Bible study. He writes, he brings it to earth, meaning the title deed. He brings it to earth and gives it to a prophet for him to eat it and prophesy and reveal it to the church. See, it ends up being in the church because he comes for his church bride. God's entire end goal is you all. I am the one you came for, Lord. You are so important for him that he himself said, this Holy Spirit that we have, the one that's in our midst now, will become incarnate. And all of that is for his church, right, for the elect. And when he did, he got it into his belly, and it was bitter, but in his lips, it was sweet. When you have to digest it, then it gets bitter. Everybody is against you. Everybody telling, you're a holy roller. You're this, that, or the other. The same thing happens. That's the bitterness. It will be bitter, it will be sweet in your mouth, but bitter in your belly. The accusations, the mockery, the criticism, and all that. But as he once said, Jesus was never discouraged. He kept going until the end. There was a divine program. He knew that was going to happen. And he kept going until the end. We will continue until the end, no matter what happens. He says that a squeeze will come upon the church bride. But you're already very prepared. And God continues to prepare us, so that when that difficult, hard time comes, we won't deny the word. Never deny the word. May God help us. It will be a very, very difficult temptation. May God deliver his people at this time. It will be a very difficult time. But we have the blessing that he is with us. And he will never forsake us. He will help us in that moment. Do not think of what you will say, as he said there. Do not think of what you will say or you will do. The Holy Spirit himself will speak and act through you. Don't think, but what should I do here or there? No. Lord, work in me. May it be you, not me. May it be you. Keep my mouth shut when it needs to be shut. And open my mouth when I need to speak. And may everything be according to God's perfect will, so that the work is not affected in any way. When one thinks that way, then God has the freedom to use you. See? You're of your head, so it's hard to digest it. But when you're testifying of his glory, it's sweet in your lips. He writes there on the left, sweet. It feels sweet. Delicious, delightful. That's all, see? And when you stand up in a meeting, you say, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, when you're going through that great siege, it's hard. But then, when you're out of that great siege, you can testify of it, then it's sweet in the lips. See? That's right. That's this book of redemption. And he writes on the left, bitter. In other words, below sweet, he writes bitter. And he says, he goes on to say here, I am waiting for that title deed. He was waiting for it. And they say, no, he already had the title deed. And that is what he is giving us. It was there, potentially. Take these two cases that were spoken of there when he gives the example of Billy Paul Neville, and he speaks about the ground. And the question then, when one speaks of justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and those two get those messages, and a little before and a little after what we read, and notice the beautiful picture there of what God is doing at the same time. He says, I am waiting for that title deed. And I am waiting for my transformation. Because every messenger, along with his group, was waiting for that. He was so close that, notice, he could almost touch it. But he wasn't meant to stay among the people. And who else? Each of you as well. God is revealing to us that great mystery of the Book of Redemption, which is the second coming of the Lord. We are being rushed from heaven. Let's do everything quickly and well done. May God bless us, may God keep us safe, and may He continue to give us of His Spirit, of His theophany, of His Word, of the contents of that title deed, and may He continue to fill my soul. We can sing that song. Let's stand. Fill my soul with Your Holy Spirit. And that way, at this end time, God can restore everything that Adam lost. Having everything in our favor, having control over everything. And as He said, first, know how to control our lives. Help me control my life, Lord. Fill my soul with Your Holy Spirit.
Manifieste en mí.
in conduct, order, and doctrine of the church, notice number 11, here on page 540 of this booklet, he says, before there was a world, you were in God's thoughts to give you the Holy Ghost. Before, since before, He already, you were in His thought, you were in Him. I will give the elect of God the Holy Spirit. I will pour myself in them. Because He knew that you would be wanting it. Don't you want it today? Well, He knew it. He knew that you would be here today. And wherever you're listening to me and watching me, you would be there wanting that. To be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what? He already knew it. He already knew that you and I would be here today singing, glorifying God, and saying to me, saying to Him, fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. He knew it. He knew we were going to express, say, cry out, ask, fill me, Lord. And He chose you Himself because you desired. He chose you in Christ before you or Jesus, any of you, was on the earth. And He sent Jesus to die, to prepare the way, to send the Holy Ghost, to bring you to Himself. Oh, that just, I know, I may. This is the church, so I'm at home now. Today I'm in my house too. This is our house, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am. Well, then it's our house, our home, it's here today. Oh, that is so rich to me, to think it's not what I wanted. It wasn't my desires. It wasn't my will. It wasn't my choosing. I had not one thing to do with it. But before the world ever started, God saw us and put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So and so, so and so. I will write them there, because I will manifest these at the end of time. And these would cry out for the Holy Spirit. Before there even was a world, talk about God, He says, and He writes the Lamb's Book of Life. I stood out yonder where that big glass, my grandchildren like things related to astronomy, to outer space. You can see 120 million years of light space. When I looked and seen that, I didn't get to see it through the glass, but I seen the picture where they took it, and I just had to raise up my hands in there, in that place, and I said, how great Thou art! How great Thou art! And before one of those planets ever turned, hallelujah, God chose us in Jesus Christ. Now how great Thou art! Yes, sir. Before there was a world, before there was a planet, before there was a sun, whoa, think of it! Isn't that great? Before everything, before there was a moon, before there was light, before there was anything, before there was anything, when it was still God, God and His thoughts, the eternal thoughts of God, chose you by predestination, by foreknowledge, to know that you would be on the earth, to know there would be sin. Someone said, then why was there sin? If there had never been sin, His attributes would have never been a Savior. There had to be a sinner so He could be a Savior. There had to be a sick man so He could be a healer. Amen. There you are. It had to be that way. It was God who saw it and foreordained it. The devil ain't even in the race. Oh, he's just a stump on the side of the road that God used to bring children to him, crying, Abba Father. No wonder. On that day, how the angels will sing. When we are singing the redemption stories, the angels will bow their heads, don't know what we are talking about. They won't know what you and I have been through and are going through on this earth. They never will, because you are experiencing it in your own flesh. They won't know. Sure, they was never lost. They don't know what it is. They don't know how good we feel to know that we, which were once sinners and alienated from God, without hope, without mercy, without God, in a world of corruption, dying, going to a devil's hell, and God stooped down and picked us up and redeemed us, and now we are above the angels right now. Which is it? An angel is a servant. We're sons and daughters. Which is the most thought of, your servant or your son or daughter? Oh my, prayer from a saint will go a million times higher than an angel. Yes, sir. Because he is a son. Oh, that's right, my brother, sister. This is, thus said the Lord, you are much higher than the angels, and your prayers are higher than those of the angels. Hear the prayer in this song, Lord, which we offer you in praise. With all our heart, we praise you, and we are singing it to you from the very depths of our souls. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. How great thou art. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is what we say to him. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy toward your people. Fill my soul with your Holy Spirit.
Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Quiero nacer en tu reino en esta dispensación. Dame tu poder, lléname con tu unción, con mi reclamador. Lléname con tu espíritu en el alma. Te he recibido como mi reclamador. Testifico con mi fe en esta confesión. Que tu palabra mi alma con tu Espíritu Santo. Llena mi alma con tu santa unción. Que tu palabra se haga carne en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí. Que tu poder se manifieste en mí.
May your power, your authority be manifested in me. And thus may you be able to work, Lord, in the midst of the people without limitations. He saw an audience like this. In this stillness. And he saw how God moved there. He says softly, reverently, the way that it pleases the Holy Spirit at this time, in our age, in our dispensation. Keep your people, Lord, in this reverence, softly, reverently, before you. And may you be pleased, Lord, by these people who are approaching that moment you saw there. And may I be one of those you saw in the vision who was being prepared for the glorious event of the resurrection and the transformation. Amen. I leave with us missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin to continue and conclude our participation on this occasion. May God bless you and keep you today, tomorrow, and always. May God bless you greatly, missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin, and each and every one of you, and me as well. God bless you. We are very grateful to God for sending you with this great blessing here, for all these people, and for the entire mystical body of Christ. It is a great privilege and a great blessing that God has sent us by sending our brother Jose Benjamin Perez. Otherwise, we would have become a denominational system, and the denominational system is death. But God had mercy on us, and He sent these glorious ministries to take care of us. It was the hand of the Lord. That is why we thank the Lord for your presence. And may God continue to use you. May He keep you the whole way. May He send His angels. And may they open doors and paths before you, just as He opened the way in the Red Sea for Moses. May He open the way for you to fulfill everything that God has in His program for your life. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Miguel. Amen.